I'm going to preach on the potter and the clay tonight. And we understand that we're the clay, and we're to be molded, and we're to be shaped, and that by the potter. You know, the clay does not shape itself. The potter has to shape the clay. The clay does not tell the potter how to shape the clay. It has no mind of its own tonight. When the potter puts the clay on the wheel, it is entirely up to the potter as to what's going to be made on that wheel. And all that the clay has to do is be susceptible and be malleable, which means to be workable, and that for the potter. I want you to look in chapter 18, the book of Jeremiah, and begin to read in verse 1. And the Bible says, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. As I said, it's all up to the potter tonight, all up to the Heavenly Father, what he wants out of our life. The word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you again tonight thanking you and that for the choir singing. I pray that it blessed your name tonight and brought glory and honor to you. Lord, we ask if there's somebody in our midst that is unsaved, that does not know you, I pray they'd get saved tonight. Lord, if there's somebody tonight that just needs their heart worked on, Lord, just as sure as you're the potter and we're the clay, I pray tonight that we'd be submissive and that under your will. And I ask tonight that if just somebody needs some help, I pray that help will be found in you tonight. Touch us and anoint us afresh tonight. While we stand to preach, we certainly need you. Lord, we can't do anything in ourselves, but we're looking to heaven for some help tonight. Lord, give us power from on high, and we'll thank you so much for what you've done for us. Thank you for Calvary, and save that sinner's nearest tale tonight. For these things in Jesus' name we do ask and do pray. Amen and amen. You be seated tonight. I tried to argue with God before we left the house on what to preach. And listen, I just couldn't get away from this message tonight. And I think preachers understand that. We've always got something else a lot of times that we might want to preach. But listen, if you look at the text inside the context, you'll find that the Lord doctrinally is dealing with the nation of Israel. The book of Jeremiah is written in a time when Israel is backslid and that upon God. They have said that we'll never cease from hearing the law. We'll never in that not have a prophet. But listen, Jeremiah has been telling them, look, God's judgment is coming. You may not believe it, but it's coming. And so you can read on in this chapter, especially over in verse 12. And they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will everyone do to the imagination of his evil heart. And so they were not going to let God work on their heart as a whole. Can I say tonight that our nation as a whole seems to want nothing to do with God, seems to want nothing to do with church, seems to want nothing to do with religion at all. And listen, God used us in a mighty way as a nation to promote the light and that of the gospel. And now mankind wants nothing in that to do with God. Listen, I agree with what Brother Larry said. last Sunday morning, I listened to that thing again over the week, and boy, I thought he had it right. Listen, if God's done in your house and done in everybody else's house what he's done in my house, that'd be in the church house. Amen. Thanking and praising him for what he's done. Ain't he a great Savior tonight to do what he's done in our home? But look right here. Listen, he shows us that he is the potter and we're the clay. Now I want to preach tonight on being the clay that can be worked, that can be molded, and that can be shaped. Now not all clay is the same. You begin to study on clay, you'll find out there's different colors to clay. You'll find out there's different forms of clay, and some is easier to work, and some is easier to use than others. Now let me park right here and say, friend, if you're unsaved tonight, tonight would be a wonderful night for you to get saved. Amen. It would be good for you to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Become submissive unto him and ask him to save you. And I'm glad that he'll do that tonight. But listen, I want you to understand that the potter and that has control over the clay. Number one tonight, looking at the potter and the clay, we must be usable for the work. The Bible said right here that he done what? He said, then I went down in verse 3, and he said, went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheel. Can I tell you tonight that God has got a work for your life? God's got an idea. God's got a plan, and that for your life. He's got a plan for my life. I may not know God's will for your life. Hey, listen, I'll be honest with you. I have a hard enough time some days figuring out God's will for my life. But I can tell you tonight that God's got a will for everybody's life. If you're unsaved, his will is that you'd get saved. But after you get saved, you need to come to a place out of where you fall down and say, Lord, what would you have me and that to do? But the potter is working on the wheel. Can I tell you, when that potter works on that wheel, that friend, that he's not only got clay up there, but he's a dipping his hand down in water. And as that wheel is spinning, and that water is being applied to that clay, it makes it more workable. Can I tell you tonight how God begins to mold us and begins to shape us? And that's with the water and that of the Word of God tonight. Amen. Listen, you know how he's worked in my life? Yeah, it's been through preaching, and yeah, it's been through teaching. But friend, it's all been and that by the Word of God. Listen, you and I need to spend time alone in the Word of God and say, Lord, what would you have me to see? A lot of times we look at what we already know. We study what we already know instead of trying to find something new out of God's book. Now, and I know there's no new thing under the sun, but there's some new things to us in here. Listen, and friend, I'll tell you what, he will use this book to work on us if we'll let him tonight. So he begins to work. How am I doing tonight? Am I doing okay? All right, just making sure. You get to talking about being worked on by the Lord. We ain't going to shout it out, I'll tell you that. Listen, tonight it was the determination of the potter of what to make. Right? The clay didn't jump up and say, well, I think I want to be a vase, or I think I want to be a bowl, or I think I want to be a coffee mug. No, the potter put the clay on the wheel, and then he began to work that thing. The Bible said in Ephesians 5, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. God's got a will for you tonight. You say, well, I don't know how to serve God. I don't know. Well, why don't you just come down here, altar, and say, Lord, here I am. Use me. And tell what Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 6. After he got right with God, he said, here I am. Here am I. Send me. Listen, he was waving toward heaven and saying, God, if you can use me, I'll go. That's a scary thing, ain't it? Because we don't know where we're going to have to go, do we? But we're in the hand of the potter. So he works on us. And he works and pressurizes us and pushes. And he begins to apply pressure in one avenue and apply pressure back in the other avenue. But see, he knows how much pressure to apply to that clay, because if he puts too much pressure on us, he'll poke a hole in us. He'll destroy what's setting on the wheel. See, that's what he said right here. He said, I went down and the vessel that he made was marred. And that word marred means to injure or to hurt or to disfigure. And one thing the Lord does not want to do is harm us tonight. I didn't say that he wouldn't harm us. I said he didn't want to harm us. Listen tonight, how many shepherds have had to, you know, they say when sheep get unruly and they wander away from the flock, and that shepherd has to go find them so many times. They'll say that shepherd will take those front feet of those sheep, and he'll take that shepherd's staff, and he'll take them front legs and set up on a rock, and then he'll take that shepherd's staff, and he'll break those legs. That makes me sad just sitting here thinking about that. You say, well, that'll teach that sheep a lesson. It will. Because see, he's going to have to stand right there by the shepherd now. And see, that shepherd's going to have to take care of him in more ways than one, than if he could just turn him loose and let him go graze and that with all the other sheep. Now that shepherd is going to have to pay specific attention and spend more time on him or her than he needs to. I don't think tonight that our heavenly shepherd takes any pleasure in breaking our legs. But they say one thing that does is it makes that sheep love that shepherd more, because he spends more time with him. I don't know if that's true or not. I'd probably be a little upset with a fella that broke my legs, amen? But I'll be honest with you tonight. You know why the shepherd does that? Because he loves his sheep. You know, tonight while the Lord chastises us, when the clay begins to buck and not want to work and become malleable, and it might become hard and it's unworkable, listen, he's going to begin to apply pressure. And if he has to, he'll take his hand at the top of that thing on the potter's wheel, and he'll mash her flat again, and he'll start all over to work out what he wants to work out tonight. So I would say that we need to be very yielding to the potter tonight. As the clay, we need to be very workable and very yieldable and that to him. Lord, what you will for my life. Isaiah 64 and verse 8. The Bible said, but now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art our potter, and we are the work of thy hands. We're the work of his hands. We're not our own work. We're not our own way of doing things, but we're his work tonight so that we could serve him. We need to be very yielding to him about our will. I thank Christ Jesus the Lord. He is a great example of yielding a will tonight. We find in the book of Luke chapter 22, as he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and his disciples has went to sleep, and the Bible said, here he is praying, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Listen, friend, if we're not careful, we'll get down and we'll pray a 10-cent prayer, and we'll say, Lord, what you will, that's what I thought it was, and jump back up and say, here's why. Hey, listen, friend, sometimes you're going to have to wait on God. You're going to have to wait on Him to answer, and when He does, then we begin to move. Sometimes we get in a hurry because we don't want to hear what God has to say. So I know one fella, he would go pray, and then he'd say, okay, Lord, that's what I thought. And then he'd get up and go in. But when he finally waited on the Lord, God began to deal with him about some things. Our will is still there. Friend, there's no doubt about that. We understand that. Galatians 5 says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Listen, your flesh is going to rire up and buck and carry on and want to do its thing. But friend, when we become submissive and act to the will of God, man, He can make a vessel out of us that shines and praises Him and bring glories to Him and not to us. Amen. We are His work, not our work tonight. Amen. Said He wrought a work on the wheel, but it got marred, and so He started all over again. And so what happens is, when He gets us work to a place where it looks pretty good, He begins to start detailing on us, don't He? Now, some of you have detailed cars in here. Now, when I wash a car, and that's my wife, that's very few and far between. The good Lord has, man, He's washed them for us this year, hadn't He? Amen. Back them out of the garage, let it rain. It'll be good. Amen. But listen, when I go to wash a car, Here's what my daddy always said. You give it a lick and a promise and move on, don't you, son? I said, exactly what I do. But you know what? When you begin to detail one, that means you begin to pay attention to what's going on. And can I tell you tonight that potter, once he gets that thing roughed out, and he's sitting there and he's looking at it, and you know what he says? He says, boy, I'd like to have just a little groove right here. And so he begins to groove some things here and make a little line here. Maybe he wants to make it a little wider here, a little more narrow here. And so he begins to take out some things that ain't needed. He may say, well, I've got too much clay in there and I need to take a little out. So he'll reach up there and begin to take some things out. In John chapter 15, he said, I am the true vine and my Father the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Listen, He said right here, if you ain't bearing fruit, He'll take you away. But every branch that bears fruit, we've looked at that in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. I talked about that spiritual fruit over there, that love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, all those things. But what He said right here, that branch that's bearing fruit, He'll begin to purge on it. He'll begin to clip some things out of the way that don't necessarily need to be there so that we can bear more fruit. He'll begin to cleanse or to purify or to cut off or to separate out of our life things that we don't need that is against us in serving God. He'll separate out friends if we ain't careful. You need to be careful who you run around with. Amen. Habits that we have, He'll begin to separate those out from us. Listen, we're at the will of the potter tonight, ain't that right? Well, preacher, I want to do my own thing. Go ahead. Go ahead and see what the potter does tonight. I preached this the other day about words that we use. Our words do matter. He'll begin to work on our speech. He'll begin to work on, friend, what we're looking at and listening to and running with and places we go. Listen, he'll work on all that to mold. He'll begin to even work on how we think, friend, if we'll let him tonight. He'll keep working on us until he gets us how he wants us. That's a little scary sometimes. It really is. Because I know me. And I buck up and rire up and say, I don't want to do that. But at the end of verse 4, it says, so he made it again, another vessel that seemed good to the potter to make. Not to the clay, but as to the potter. Y'all catching on to, I guess I could have titled this, As to the Potter. Maybe that's what we'll call it. Title that, boys, when you're right to As to the Potter. You got that, Jacob? All right, he's got his thumb in there. Do you know what happens if you study shaping clay as it seems good to the potter? He ain't done once he gets us in the shape that we're in. Can't be used, you see. It's still just clay. It's still malleable and it's still workable. And you know, that's how some Christians are, some believers are tonight. They've never really had the heat put on. Some people got saved and they're in and out of church. Hey, it's like this right here. They've left Egypt, but they've never made it to the promised land. And the children of Israel, bless their heart over there. You get over there to Exodus chapter 16, and all they wanted to do was talk about Egypt. I mean, boy, they, in Exodus 16, they said, would to God that we had died down in the land of Egypt when we had plenty, when we sat by the flesh pots. They said, we had everything we needed down there, and Moses has brought us in the wilderness and that to die. I'm glad I got into the promised land one day. It may have took having the heat put on, but thank God I finally got there. Amen. You say, you're talking about heaven? I ain't talking about heaven. Listen, children of Israel, they come up out of the land of Egypt and they traveled through the wilderness and they had to battle to get in to the promised land. I know we talk about the promised land being heaven, and that's fine. And we'll sing him an old song to Canaan land. I'm on my way where the soul of man never died. That don't bother me. But friend, I'm telling you now, these battles in Canaan, these fighting in Canaan, but they some just never got out of the wilderness. And all they are is just a piece of clay. And God's trying to mold them and keep them shaped. They couldn't make it. Take your Bible and go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We taught on this Wednesday night on part of this scripture. This is how some saved people are tonight. Some Christians, we'll call them Christians. Christian means Christ-like. We'll call them believers. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He said this, we were preaching on maturity, spiritual maturity. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, not with meat, for hitherto you're not able to bear it. Neither are you now, neither yet now are you able, for you're yet carnal. See, there's a problem. What's that mean? What's the word carnal mean, dealing with flesh? I mean, fleshly, that's what carnal means. Talking about a carnal appetite. Deals with the flesh. He called him Paul. He didn't let up on him. He said, you're carnal. He said, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? What had happened right here is they had never grown. They had never got out of the wilderness. So we get out of the wilderness. What happens? So the Lord has shaped us as the potter, and we're the clay. He glazes that thing, he paints that thing, he beautifies whatever he has made But then the hotter. The potter puts the heat on. I got some things. Oh, when we pulled up to the nursing home today, I said, well, there's Sarah-mai and Jerabeth. You guys will catch on to that there. Yeah, there you go. My wife laughs every time I do that. It ain't the first time I've ever done it. But you know what he does? Potter begins to put heat on. Now, they have to heat that thing up slowly. You get past 212 degrees, that thing's liable to blow apart. Because water begins to boil at 212 degrees. Ain't you glad that the Lord just don't throw the heat on us all at one time? We'd blow apart, wouldn't we? I mean, we would honestly just blow apart into a million pieces and wouldn't even know how to get put back together. And so the Lord, He shapes us, He makes us, and then He begins to put the heat on in the trial of our lives. He begins to put the heat on with the Word of God. Not with the milk, but with the meat tonight. He says, all right, you want to know what to do? Here is what the book says. But he slowly puts it on as the water bakes off and steam rises out. And listen, it'll turn to a little bit of steam, but if it turns to too much, that thing will just blow apart. And let me explain something to you tonight. When you shatter, I ain't talking about breaking something, I'm talking about shattering it. When you shatter a piece of pottery, a piece of glass, or anything, when it's shattered, you can't put it back together. You can't glue it back together. You say, well, I'll try. That's fine, but friend, here's the thing. You may get it back to where it looks something like it did originally, but I guarantee you there's some pieces missing. Homes shatter, families shatter, churches shatter. You can't put them back together once they blow that far apart. Now, I know God can. He can do anything. So the potter begins to put the heat on. And the Lord knows where the right amount is. You ever think about that? You know, potter knows. He's got that kiln. He knows how much needs to be put on. And by the way, for me, it would be trial and error. I'd blow some stuff up. Be honest with you, I'd probably blow some stuff up on purpose. Amen. Watch it blow up. But you know what? When trial and temptation gets put on in our life, can I tell you tonight that the Lord knows how much you can take? There is no temptation tucking you but such is common to man, but God is faithful. You need to underline that in your Bible. God is faithful. You may not be faithful, but God's faithful tonight. Amen? Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. He knows how much you can bear. See, He didn't say He'd make it go away. He just said that you'd be able to bear it. He's not going to take the heat off. He just knows how much to put on. Bible said in 1 Peter 1, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. Watch this. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found with the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. He said, look, the trial of our faith has been tried by fire. What? That it might be found under the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of who? Jesus. Not the clay, not the pottery, not what's been made, but friends, so that we can glory and honor and praise Him and Him have it at His appearing. Amen. Did he not try Abraham? I mean, the Bible said when Abraham was tried, uses that word, tried. Did he not tell him to take Isaac up on Mount Moriah over there and sacrifice him? And he was willing, the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 11, that he was, well, take your Bible and go over there and look. And we still ain't got done with Hebrews 11 yet. I still got some stuff to preach out of it. Preacher, you've been preaching on that forever. I have, but I'll get her done one day. Hebrews 11. Look at verse 17. Hebrews 11, verse 17. By faith, Abraham, and I live so much by faith, it seems. And my faith gets so weak sometimes that I'm not living by faith. Some days I have great faith. Some days I have little faith. Other days I have no faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, there it is, offered up Isaac. And when he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. You know why Abraham still took him up there on Mount Moriah and drew back that knife and was going to kill his only son? You said, did he not have Ishmael? The Lord said in the book of Genesis, take Isaac, thy son, thine only son. The promises was reckoned, and that through Isaac, not through Ishmael. And he drew back that knife, had Isaac up there on top of that Mount Moriah on that altar. And I can imagine as he drew back, I don't know if his tears were shed. And no doubt they probably were. And he drew back and out of the heavens, an angel cried and said, Abraham, Abraham. I bet he went, phew. But you know what? If God would have not cried out, Abraham, Abraham, he would have killed Isaac. And God blessed him because of that. Because he was not willing to do his will, but God's will. Did he not try Job? Been studying about him, hadn't we? In young adult Sunday school class about Job. That man had a miserable life. But God tried him. You know what he said in Job 23 and verse 10? And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He knew what he was going through. Satan's going to come by and attack. Heat's going to be put on. But while the clay is baking, he's made us, shaped us, and he's purged out some things while he was a shaping. But you know why that clay's a baking? Now get this right here. I didn't say nothing about this. Did you know that once that water gets out of that clay, and they're really going to fire that thing, some vessels are heated up to 2,500 degrees. I'd call that hot, wouldn't you? I'd call that hot. And the heat, though, is brought on for one reason and one reason only. So that vessel can be used. You know, if the heat ain't brought on, the vessel can't be used. It won't work. The vessel won't work. It won't be any good. If it's not fired right, if it's not tempered right, if that heat's not been applied right, then that vessel can't be used right. 2 Timothy chapter 2, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some of honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, if you go back and you look at the prior verses, we're talking about some sin there. He shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. You know, every trial that we go through is just applying the heat to get us to where we can be used as a vessel to honor. Think about that. Think about when David, 17, 18, 19 years old, Goliath standing out there in the valley, and he's saying, send me a man that can fight. And he's cursing the army of God in the morning and in the evening. I believe that's probably at the time of the morning and the evening sacrifice. And here he is cursing the God of heaven. And this young man who's standing there listening to this had enough. It didn't take him but one time. He had had enough. You know when folk curse God, one time ought to be enough. Right? What do you do with your TV screen if somebody's on there cursing God? My wife will tell you what we do. I'm not listening to it. If you go to the movie theater, I'm not going to preach against movies, but if you go and they're going to curse God, well, you say, well, I paid my $8, $10, $15. You should have looked and seen. I'm not putting up with it. Let me put it to you another way, and you've heard me say this. I'm not going to let somebody come in my house and talk like that, and I'm not going to let that stinking TV do the same thing. I just ain't going to do it. You can do what you want to. I'm telling you what I'm going to do. I'm not going to listen. Anyway, that was good. That's extra. Amen. Just pay me a nickel later, all right? Acts chapter 27, Paul said, after God come by, and he said, I'm just going to believe God as it was told me in that storm. That angel come by over and said, Paul, we're going to get you to Rome. And Paul said, I'm just going to believe God. So you know what David done when he went over there and they said, you can't go fight. Said, you're just a youth and he's been a man of war from his youth. And here's what David said. The Lord delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And David said, and Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with thee. Hey, listen, the lion and the bear was no more than just to get him ready and that to face that uncircumcised Philistine over there. Some things that happen in your life is just to get you ready and have to face something else on down the road, friend, so that you can stand tough and make it through it. So, we get shaped. The clay don't tell the potter what to make. The potter purges and works and takes out, puts the heat on us, trials on us, works. Hey, if anybody ever had the heat applied to them, it was Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, wasn't it? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They literally had the heat applied, didn't they? And the Bible said that they were bound when they were thrown in, but when they come out, they didn't have no binds on them, no bounds on them, and even the smell of smoke hadn't even passed upon them. They smell better than some Baptists, amen. All the Master wants is for us to be usable. Apply the heat to us. But then, here's the shame of it. Jeremiah chapter 19, one chapter over from chapter 18. Pretty smart, wasn't it? Now, I want you to look. The Lord's telling them what's about to happen to them. In verse 9, and I will cause them to eat the flesh of their sons and the flesh of their daughters, and they shall eat every one the flesh of his friend in the siege and straitness, wherewith their enemies and they that seek their lives shall straiten them. Go read the book of Lamentations. They're laying under siege at that time. That actually takes place. Verse 10, then thou shalt break the bottle. Now he's got a bottle if you go back and read. Break the bottle in the sight of the men that go with thee. And shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, even so will I break this people in this city as one breaketh a potter's vessel. Now look what your Bible says, that cannot be made whole again. And they shall bury them in Tophet till there be no place to bury. The vessel does not break itself, but the potter breaks it. When that vessel, even though it's made, even though it's had the heat applied, if the vessel chooses not to be used, the potter can break it. Israel had chose not to be used of God. Israel had chose that they were not going to serve God. So what did God say I'm going to do? I'm going to break this people as one breaketh a potter's vessel that cannot be made whole again. Remember what I told you a few minutes ago? You shatter that thing, you can't put it back together. And you know what God will do if we choose as the vessel not to be used? God will break us. You don't think God will break you? Push on Him, see what will happen. I think sometimes I wished I'd have brought a vessel. You know, I preached on that bowl one time. But, you know, sometimes I think God will begin to hit on the vessel. And He's trying to get you to see things is fixing to get bad. You start pecking on the vessel. You know what He'll do eventually? If we as a vessel don't want to be used, He'll use hammer out. You say, God wouldn't do that. Push on Him. Push on Him. We're just the clay. He's the potter. The potter has every right to do with the clay as he chooses fit. We're His tonight. We're not our own. How about you? How's your heart as we bow our heads tonight across the house? Brother Jeff, if you'll come, and Brother Caldwell, let's get us a verse of invitation tonight, if we would.